In that day, which refers back to chapter 4, verse 1, which was in the last days. So it's what Jeremy was talking about last week. In that day, declares the Lord, I will gather the lame, I will assemble the exiles and those I have brought to grief. I will make the lame a remnant, those driven away a strong nation. The Lord will rule over them in Mount Zion, and from that day for and forever. As for you, O watchtower of the flock, O stronghold of the daughter of Zion, the former dominion will be restored to you. Kingship will come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Why do you now cry aloud? Have you no king? Has your counselor perished that pain seizes you like that of a woman in labor? Writhe in agony, O daughter of Zion, like a woman. Writhe in agony, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in labor. For now you must leave the city to camp in the open field. You will go to Babylon. There you will be rescued. There the Lord will redeem you out of the hands of your enemies. But now, many nations are gathered against you. They say, let her be defiled, let her eyes gloat over Zion. But they do not know the thoughts of the Lord. They do not understand his plan. He who gathers them like sheaves to the threshing floor. Rise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will give you horns of iron. I will give you hoofs of bronze, and you will break to pieces many nations. You will devote their ill-gotten gains to the Lord, the wealth to the Lord of all the earth. God give us understanding. It's typical Micah. He jumps from one thing to another, and we'll try and look at that together in a moment. Well, you'll see, I've put a chart up on the screen. I'm sorry, there's a lot on it, and it's just the chart of the history of the Old Testament, basically. And it's divided into sections. The first line is from the creation right through to when the nations were formed and there was a Tower of Babel. The next line is a very strategic line. The second line down, it starts with the place where Abraham was called and goes right through to when David was king. The next line is, the third line is where Solomon was replacing David, his father, as king, and that was almost the height of the history of the chosen people Israel, and it goes right through, and I'm sure you see in big red letters the word exile, very important phase that we're looking at in Micah. And then the last line are the fewer years, less than 500 years up to the time when Jesus came, about much of that time. There's little in the Bible about it, just a little bit from Ezra, Nehemiah, Malachi, and so on. But we are particularly looking at the section between these brackets here. Very important period of history as far as the Bible is concerned and as far as the nations of the earth are concerned. Because in his wisdom, God chose Abraham to be the father of many nations, but in particular to be the father of the nation of Israel, the chosen people that God called. And the beginning bracket there is from the time when they were brought out of slavery in Egypt under Moses' leadership, and they crossed the Red Sea and they were led into the promised land under the leadership of Joshua. And that period going right through to when they had leaders and they had the kings goes right through to the period of the time, which is another crucial time of the second bracket, when they went into exile. there's not much of the history of these special people before and after. And as we look at it, we see Micah there. I've arrowed Micah. You can see where he comes. It's in that very important part after the nation of Israel was divided into the northern part. You see this little branch going way up here. And they were overrun by Assyria and were then dispersed. Micah continued with the southern kingdom of Judah. He was contemporary with Isaiah the prophet and Joel, and he was at his peak at the time of King Hezekiah. And it was a very difficult time because it was all leading up to this exile that was to come because the people were not responding to God as they should have done. So we're trying to look at that little period of history in particular. During that period, in between the brackets, we have the giving of the law, which was God's instructions for how his people were to live. You remember that came to Moses, and the people were to respond to it. That included what is now known as the Ten Commandments. That was very important, telling the people how they could walk in God's ways. God raised up many different leaders. There were those who were well known, like Joseph and Joshua, but there were others, some of the judges. I expect we'd have difficulty in saying the names of all the judges. They weren't judges in the sense that they were those who sat with wigs in courts. They were leaders. They were those who led the nation, and there were many of them. And the people then cried out for a king like the other nations had, and some, like Hezekiah, at the time of Micah, helped the people back into God's ways. Others led them in entirely the opposite direction. It's like all leaders, they have their agendas. There were also priests. They were appointed to help the people in the worship of God and the ways of God and instruction in the purposes of God. Then there were prophets who Micah was one, and the many prophets that you can read in the Old Testament seem to come on the scene, sometimes reluctantly, sometimes enthusiastically, but usually they're confronting what was going on at the time, as well as saying, look, unless this will happen. And so they brought in different messages. So the prophets were key. They were messengers who were anointed by God. They knew the power of God by his Spirit on their lives. So they were very important. Micah was one of those. Then there were all the people. They were growing in numbers. They went from place to place, and then they formed settlements and cities and often built walls around them like they did particularly around Jerusalem. So there were the people. Many of them had been travelers. Many of them settled. And of course, throughout that period, there were various covenants. I've mentioned here the Noahic covenant that was given before Abraham, that was given to Noah after the flood. And we know that that was a promise for all mankind that God would never destroy the creation by a flood again. And there were covenants that were given to Moses, and they were given to various people, especially Abraham. So all of those people featured. Abraham, I mentioned, it's very important that we think about him as we think about God's plan and purpose, because in Genesis chapter 12, we read incredible verses. Let me just find them for you. God came to Abraham when he was 75 years old. Abraham was quite a well-to-do person. He'd lived a good life. He lived in a civilization which was basically around the Babylonian territory of Ur, and it was rather lavish. He was pretty well off. He'd done very well. He had quite a strong family who were well known, and things were very comfortable for him. And yet, at that particular time, in Genesis chapter 12, we read this. the Lord had said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. And then listen to this. This is staggering. This is God speaking to Abraham. He says, I will make you into a great nation. Can you imagine that? If God said that to any individual, I will make you into a great nation. And I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. That is still being fulfilled in 2019. I haven't time to unpack that, but maybe one day we'll do a little series on it here to unpack for you how God interacted with Abraham and how that has shaped history. It is an amazing revelation that God gave to Abraham. And in many ways, what Micah was involved in follows on through from what God had given to Abraham as a revelation. It didn't all work out because people are people. Folks are folks. And you know, we don't always get on and do things exactly as would be the best. We think we know, we've got our ideas, we've got our philosophies. And they did. Under Moses, Moses led the people out of their bondage in Egypt, and they were heading for what God had promised Abraham. I'm going to give you a land. I'm going to give you a place from which you are going to bless everyone and everything else. But the people kicked up a shindy and a fuss, and they didn't want to go God's way. And God had to remind the people after 40 years of traipsing around in the desert that actually they needed to listen and heed what he had said through Moses. And before they went into the promised land, not under Moses' leadership, but under Joshua, his successor, this word was given to the people through Moses. This reminder, the Lord loved you and he kept the oath he swore to your forefathers. That was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant, that's a promise, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. How many years is in 1,000 generations? No, your mathematics is not switched on this morning. I can see that. It's tens of thousands. It's amazing. It extends to us sat here. He is a faithful God, keeping his covenant of love. So he wraps his arms round us in love this morning, because he promised to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. What a reminder. That's what they were reminded about as they were to go in to the promised land. But it was always a remnant who were faithful to the Lord. So at the time of Micah, as previously, a lot of people said, we can handle it. We'll do it our way. We like it this way. But there was always a remnant who were faithful to the Lord. And God always dealt with those who were able to love him and trust him. At the time of Ezra, which is after Micah and after the people have been into exile, a few are sent back from captivity in Babylon back to the land that God promised, and they rebuild Jerusalem and the temple. And Ezra says, the Lord our God has been gracious in leaving us a remnant. So there always were, there always was a remnant, always were those who were faithful to the Lord. But through it all, through the messages, all the prophets, including Micah, you have to note that sin has consequences. Not obeying God's word, not trusting him, not going his way, not giving a life fully over to him has consequences. And Micah made that abundantly clear. So, let's try and see where Micah came into this picture. There is a list of quite a few of the Old Testament prophets, and you see I've underlined Micah's name there. He was speaking to the people who were left in Judah, the southern part of the kingdom, the northern part. Israel had suffered at the hands of Assyria. They were disobedient to the Lord. Many of the people in Judah, in the south, weren't keen to listen to Micah. But let's look at the message of Micah again. We have to look at chapter 4 particularly. But we need to look back to chapter 1, where Micah begins to speak to the people. Not very popular. He says, look, the Lord is coming. Does that mean the Lord is coming to bless? Does that mean the Lord is coming to take you on? Well, actually, it says, look, the Lord is coming from his dwelling place, and he comes down and treads the high places of the earth. The mountains melt beneath him. The valleys split apart like wax before the fire, like water rushing down a slope. In actual fact, he says, the Lord is coming because sin has consequences, and he's coming to face you with those consequences. So that's the beginning of the message of Micah. Wow, not very popular. I think if you spoke that message over any peoples or nations today, you'd get various reactions. And indeed, Micah did. But Micah made it very clear. He said, all of this, the Lord is coming, is because of Jacob's transgression. Jacob was the one whose name was changed to Israel. So he's speaking about not only Jacob personally, but all the people who came from Jacob, the nation that Micah was addressing. It was all because they'd failed. They'd gone their own way. Transgression means going against, going across the way. And yet, when we get to chapter 6, don't worry, we'll look at chapter 4 briefly in a moment. But when we get to chapter 6, it says very clearly that God speaks through Micah. And he says, through Micah to his people, he says, my people, listen. My people, he says, remember. And he reminds the people what he, God, has done for them through the whole plan of history. That section between the two brackets I showed you on the chart. And Micah reminds them of some of those things. He says, remember them. Think back. You've been told them. In other words, do your history lesson. And then he comes straight to the point, and as I think it was Alan Thorpe emphasized when he was here about 3 weeks ago, the key question that Micah then puts to the people is, what does the Lord require of you? You, people, now, how should you respond? And of course, it's very clear. He has showed you what is good. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and above all, to walk humbly with your God. Well, that was what Micah brought. That was his message. Did the people turn back to God? Did they recognize their failures? Did they call on him and do what he required? No, they didn't. And even 100 years later, you can meet the prophet Jeremiah And he's still saying some of the same things. 100 years later, that was what, 2 or 3 generations on. And the people are still of the same mind. And this captivity that was going to take them into exile, into the northern territory of Babylon, that didn't take place for over 100 years after Micah. It took place during the time of Jeremiah. And it was something that they wanted to push away and say, oh, it won't happen to us. So, did God's plan and purpose fail? Yeah, we've got the door open. It's close, isn't it? It's warm up here. Did God's plan and purpose fail? The people failed, but did God's plan and purpose fail? Well, the answer is very clearly, no, it didn't. And you have to go on into the New Testament to realize that actually what Micah spoke about came true in the Lord Jesus Christ. God's plan and purpose was all going to be fulfilled when Jesus came. Because in Galatians, Paul writes and tells us, when the time had fully come, Jesus was born to redeem those who were under the law. That was the people of God that Micah was speaking to. And Micah himself tells us in chapter 5, which I think David Wilson will look at with us next week, he tells us that it was in Bethlehem that God's solution was going to be birthed in Jesus, his son, because the people failed, but God hadn't failed. And out of Bethlehem would come one who'd be a ruler. They needed someone who would lead them and take them in the direction that he had chosen. And even when you come to the end of the life of the Lord Jesus, you'll find him stood before Pilate. And Pilate asks Jesus, are you a king then? And Jesus replies, yes, you are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason, I was born. And Jesus makes it abundantly clear that although the plan of his Father, God in heaven, had been forgotten by many of the people, only a remnant looked to him. When the time had fully come, Micah made it clear Jesus would be born in Bethlehem and Jesus would be the wonderful fulfillment of everything that God had planned. It's great when you read about Simeon, who took the babe Jesus in his arms in the temple. And Simeon had been looking for the Lord's coming. And he says, yes, this is a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Amazing, that needs unpacking, because Simeon actually saw that Jesus was going to be the deliverer, the savior, the answer, not just for the chosen people Israel, but for all people, Gentiles as well as Jews. That includes us. And it was amazing. Simeon was one of the remnant who believed. And no wonder Paul says when he writes to the Christians at Rome who were Gentiles, they were not Jews, he said, yes, this is even for us whom he's also called, not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles. And Paul goes on to say, oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Amazing. It's just an incredible story, God's story of how he deals with people. So we must look very briefly at the message of Micah in chapter 4. We read it together. It's basically, if you still have your Bibles open, it basically breaks down into 4 little sections. We have verses 6 to 8, which speaks about in that day you will hear and see the Messiah King. There would be a remnant of believing Jews in the days of Micah. And in the future, Jeremy Bishop was talking to us last week a little bit about the future. In that day, when Jesus comes again And when he rules and he is the king, there will be a remnant of Jews who will be prominent in the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's always been a remnant. We just mentioned Simeon. He was one who believed and was looking for the promise and fulfillment of what God had said. Look about Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus. What does she say when the angel appears to her? We know the Christmas story. She says, "May it be to me according to your word." She was one who believed. And there were many who followed. And of course, the Messiah King was the one who was promised, and he will reign, and there will come a time, the Jewish nation will be important at that time when the millennial reign of Christ occurs. But Micah switches. He's looked to the future, but then he's back almost to the immediate and saying, look, the more imminent situation is, you're going into exile. And verses 9 and 10 talk about that. It says, "Writhe in agony, O daughter of Zion." He says, you've got to leave the city. You're going to camp in the open field. You're going to go to Babylon. So he's telling them, look, because you're not listening, you're not obeying, you're not responding, God is going to discipline you. God was going to deal with you. And for 70 years, they went into exile in Babylon. And then Micah turns and he looks at all the other nations around, because there were lots of other nations around Judah and God's people. They were called the Ammonites and the Perizzites and the Hittites. There were a whole load of Hittites names, a proper crowd they were. Most of the nations had little time for God and his ways. What does verse 11 say? Micah chapter 4. He says to God's people, now many nations are gathered against you. They're saying, let her be defiled. Let our eyes gloat over Zion. Zion for Jerusalem and God's people and God's place. Ooh, you deserve it. Look, this is what's happened to you. You deserve it. But, verse 12 says, and what a huge but that is. But they, those gloating nations, they do not know the thoughts of the Lord. They do not understand his plan. I think you might say that about a few nations today. But they do not know the thoughts of the Lord. They do not understand his plan. Do we understand his plan? We're only looking very briefly at it this morning. We really need a few hours to unpack it properly, but we're having a little glance at it. God has a plan. He chose Abraham. He chose a people. He wants to bless the earth. The people failed. He sent his son. His son was the one who the very people he came to rejected. But he's in heaven. Jesus died. He rose. We're going to celebrate that in communion in a moment. Jesus is in heaven and he's going to return as the Messiah King and he's going to reign. That, in a nutshell, is his plan. And the nations of Micah's day gloated and said, ha, ha, ha. And people do today. So we need to understand God's plan. And then look with Micah in verse 13 at those whom God will use. I tell you, he jumps about. He's looking in the future and he's saying, rise and thresh, O daughter of Zion. He's speaking now to the people of Judah, his contemporaries, Micah's contemporaries. He said, look, God's going to use you people who really aren't trusting him. One day, I'm going to give you horns of iron. You're going to have hooves of bronze and you're going to break to pieces many nations. The tables are going to be turned. You're actually going to devote their ill-gotten gains to the Lord and their wealth to the Lord of all the earth. So in other words, all the wealth that people speak about is going to be devoted to the Lord of all the earth. Amazing. Amazing. I think my brother sent me an email yesterday to tell me about his son, who's just been appointed managing director of a massive international bank with offices in London, and they handle trillions of pounds. I can't get my mind around it. And I read that verse and I thought, yeah, my nephew Alex may be well involved in all that, but I have a God who one day will see all the wealth of all the nations honouring him. It's incredible. We're not there yet, but it's what Micah proclaimed. Very simply for us and for them, Micah had to point out there was some pain that they were going to go through. They were going to go into exile. But actually, in the longer term future, for them as a people, there was going to be much gain. It's a huge but that leads to that. Well, I guess we know that God has always chosen the weak people. You read about Jeremiah. God says to Jeremiah, I want you to speak. And Jeremiah says, oh, I can't speak. I'm only a child. And God called Moses. And Moses says, no, I can't do it. Send somebody else, Lord. And he looks around and he says, oh, there's Aaron, my brother. Send him. And God said, all right, I'll speak through Aaron. And time again, God has done it that way. The history of the church demonstrates that it's always been true, hasn't it? It's the weak things of this world shame the strong, Paul said in 1 Corinthians. So if you're feeling weak, you're in a good place. I feel very weak. I feel very inadequate. Even standing here before you, desperately trying to put a massive story into a few minutes. I haven't the capacity to do it. Other people are much better at doing it. But when we feel weak, when we feel inadequate, when we feel insignificant, the Lord can use us if we offer ourselves to him, if we're obedient to him, whatever our age, whatever our circumstances. That's encouraging, isn't it? The Lord used these people. He used Micah. And the other key thing for us to take, I think, this morning is that we need to understand God's plan. Micah clearly had come to understand God's plan. It helps us to appreciate, of course, the greatness of God, the love of God, how much he is in control. And as well, the part that we can play in his